Public service costs. The cost of providing public services varies from one county to another. Some counties must pay more than other counties to attract workers away from the private sector. Moreover, environmental factors can raise the cost of public services in some counties and lower it in others. Just as they do not have control over their service responsibilities, county officials do not have control over the cost of public services. It is appropriate, therefore, to incorporate public service costs into an analysis of county fiscal conditions. An example from the private sector may help to clarify the concept of public service costs. Consider the private service called home comfort as measured by the temperature of a house. The cost of this service depends on the cost of the key input, namely heating fuel, and on the environment in which the service must be provided. People who live in states with harsh winters, for example, must spend more to keep the winter temperature at 68 degrees than people who live in states with mild climates. In this example, the service quality is held constant at 68 degrees. To obtain this given service quality, some people must pay a relatively high amount because they face high fuel costs, and others must pay a relatively high amount because they face a harsh environment. Although public service quality can be difficult to measure, the concept of service cost still applies. The quality of police services is the level of protection against crime, for example, and the quality of highway services is the level of protection from potholes, abrasive road surfaces, unsafe intersections, and icy road conditions. The cost of these services depends on the cost of inputs and on the environment in which they must be provided. Public employees are the main input for public services, so the wage rate is a key component of public service costs. The appropriate wage rate here is the private sector wage, which indicates how much a county must pay to attract people away from the private sector, not the public sector wage, over which county officials have some control. Unfortunately, we do not have any data on private wage rates, and therefore cannot measure this component of public service costs. We have no reason to believe, however, that the wage rate for a given job varies widely from one county to another. Public service costs also depend on the harshness of the environment for providing public services, where environment is broadly defined to include all physical, social, and economic characteristics that influence how much a county must spend to obtain services of a given quality. As explained in a later section, our analysis of the determinants of county spending provides estimates of the relationship between environmental factors and public service costs. We find that 5 environmental factors influence the cost of county services: total area per capita, the number of farms per capita, the share of population on farms, the poverty rate, and the crime rate. The greater is a county's area per capita, that is, the lower is its population density, the greater are its per capita transportation costs for distributing services around the county. The average county has an area of 21.7 square miles per 1,000 people. The standard deviation of this area measure is 30.7. We estimate that a county with area per capita 1 standard deviation above the mean must pay $38 more per capita to achieve the same service quality than a county with average area per capita. Farming has a complex impact on the cost of public services in Nebraska's counties. Many county services, such as police protection, are directed toward farms, so public service costs per capita increase with the number of farms per capita in a county. However, county services provided to a farm are, to a large degree, provided to all the people who live on the farm, so adding people to a farm adds little to total county costs and lowers the per capita cost of county services. In short, the cost of county services per capita increases with the number of farms per capita and decreases with the share of the population that lives on farms. The average county in Nebraska has 9.3 farms per 100 people, and 26.5% of its population is classified by the census as rural farm. The standard deviations of these two variables are 4.7 and 13.8, respectively. We estimate that account to with both farms per capita and farm population one standard deviation above the average must pay $19 per capita more than a county at the average to provide public services of the same quality. As of 1984, the state, not the counties, became responsible for providing welfare programs in Nebraska. Nevertheless, counties provide a variety of social services to all county residents, even city residents. The cost of these services increases with the extent of poverty, that is, counties with relatively many poor people must spend more to achieve the same quality social services as other counties. Moreover, the cost of county police services depends on the county crime rate. The higher is the crime rate, the greater is the amount the county must spend to provide a given level of protection against crime. The average poverty and crime rates are both about 15%, but the standard deviation of the poverty rate, 5.0, is considerably smaller than the standard deviation of the crime rate, 14.3. We estimate that a county with poverty, crime, one standard deviation above the mean must pay $25, $19 per capita more than a county at the mean to provide services of the same quality. A county's costs equal the amount it must spend above the average amount per capita because of these cost factors. The second column of Table 9.3 presents costs for Nebraska's counties, expressed in index form. As with responsibilities, the average index set to 100. The standard deviation of the index is 26, which implies that most counties have a cost index between 74 and 126. The lowest cost index is 55 in Sarpy County, and the highest index is 189 in McPherson County. The five counties with the IOS costs, Sarpy, Cass, Washington, Red Willow, and Saunders, have higher population densities than most Nebraska counties, have relatively few farms, and small farm populations have below average poverty rates, and have average, or slightly higher than average, crime rates. The five counties with the highest costs, McPherson, Arthur, Blaine, Sioux, and Hays, all have relatively low population densities, along with many farms, a large farm population, above average poverty, and virtually no crime. The three remaining large urban counties, Douglas, Scottsbluff, and Lancaster, all have slightly below average costs, although they have relatively high densities, and few farms, which imply low costs. They also have much higher than average crime rates, which imply high costs. Expenditure need. A county's expenditure need is the amount it must spend to achieve the statewide average service quality given its responsibilities and its costs. This need is outside the control of county officials. It does not depend on their preferences for public service quality or on their management skill. Expenditure need is the expenditure side of a county's fiscal condition. This amount is statewide average spending per capita, plus the difference between its service responsibilities and average responsibilities, plus the difference between its costs and average costs. Expenditure need for Nebraska's counties is described in the third column of Table 9.3. Like its components, expenditure need is presented in index form. This index has an average value of 100 and a standard deviation of 86, which indicates that counties differ significantly from each other in their expenditure need. The minimum need index is 10 in Sarpy County, and the maximum need index is 687 in McPherson County. The extreme need in McPherson County is driven by its extremely high service responsibilities. The second neediest county, Arthur, has a much lower index, namely 294. Thus, Sarpy County has to spend about 1/10 as much as the average county, whereas Arthur County has to spend almost 3 times as much as the average county to obtain services of average quality. Need capacity gap. A county's overall fiscal condition is determined by the balance between the amount it has to spend to achieve the average service quality and the revenue it can raise at the average tax burden on its residents. The most straightforward way to measure this balance is with a county's need capacity gap, which is the difference between its expenditure need per capita and its revenue-raising capacity per capita. For ease of interpretation, we set the average need capacity gap equal to zero. If a county's need capacity gap is positive, the county cannot provide the average service quality at the average tax burden. It either must lower its service quality below the average or raise its tax burden above the average, or both. A need capacity gap of $50, for example, indicates that a county would have to receive $50 per capita from outside sources to be able to provide the same service quality at the same tax burden as the average county. In contrast, a need capacity gap of negative $50 implies that a county could provide the average service quality at the average tax burden and still have $50 per capita left over to finance higher service quality or to lower the tax burden on its residents. Need capacity gap findings. Table 9 for presents need capacity and the need capacity gap for each county in Nebraska. The entries in this table, unlike those in previous tables, are expressed in dollars per capita. By construction, the average need capacity gap is zero. The standard deviation of the gap is 199, which implies that most counties have gaps between minus 199 and plus 199. According to this measure of fiscal condition, the five healthiest counties are Sarpy, Cass, Washington, Lincoln, and Otto. These counties could provide the average service quality at the average tax burden and still have between $179, Otto, and $332, Sarpy, per capita to provide better than average services, or a lower than average tax burden. All of these counties have below average expenditure need and above average revenue raising capacity. Indeed, Sarpy County's expenditure need is only about 10% of the average, and its revenue-raising capacity is about 40% above average. The two major urban counties, Douglas and Lancaster, are among the 11 healthiest counties, with about average capacity, but far below average expenditure need. The five least healthy counties are McPherson, Arthur, Cayapaha, Sioux, and Banner. These counties would have to receive extensive revenue from outside sources to provide the average service quality and the average tax burden. Somewhat surprisingly, all of these counties except for Cayapaha have above average capacity, but they also have far above average expenditure need. The extremely high need in McPherson County, which reflects its extensive county roads per capita, already has been noted, despite the fact that McPherson County has the highest overall capacity in the state. This high need leads to a need capacity gap of over $1,312 per capita. Conclusions. Some broad patterns emerge from this analysis of county fiscal conditions in Nebraska. The counties with the best fiscal condition tend to be suburban counties near Douglas or Lancaster County, or counties that contain a city that is relatively large by Nebraska standards, such as North Platte in Lincoln County. Because of the large role played by municipal governments in these counties, the county governments tend to have extremely low service responsibilities, and because they contain relatively few farms and, in some cases, have relatively high population densities, these counties tend to have relatively low service costs. Moreover, despite the fact that municipalities use up a large share of the capacity in these counties, the county governments tend to have relatively high revenue-raising capacity because of high incomes in the counties and the presence of commercial property on which some of the property tax burden is exported. Douglas and Lancaster counties themselves rank 11th and 12th in overall fiscal condition. Even though these two counties have particularly high concentrations of commercial property, they fall somewhat behind the surrounding counties because they have somewhat higher public costs and because municipal governments claim a particularly large share of the available capacity. In contrast, the counties with the poorest fiscal condition tend to be large, heavily rural counties with low population densities and many farms. Because these counties do not have to share resources with municipalities, some of them have above-average revenue-raising capacity, but they all have far above-average service responsibilities and relatively high public service costs, and their capacity falls far short of their expenditure need. Although the most urban counties tend to have the best fiscal condition, and the most rural counties tend to have the poorest fiscal condition, these tendencies do not tell the whole story. One rural county, Stanton, is among the healthiest seven counties. Because municipalities play a small role there, Stanton County has above-average revenue-raising capacity, and, because it is relatively densely settled for a rural county, it also has relatively low public service costs and below-average expenditure need. In addition, one county with a large share of its population in municipalities, namely Hooker, is in relatively poor fiscal condition. This county has few farms, but it is very sparsely settled, and therefore has high public service costs. Moreover, it has an extremely low per capita income, which it must share with the municipalities that serve 70% of its population. As a result, Hooker County has above-average expenditure need and below-average revenue-raising capacity, and only 13 counties have larger need capacity gaps. The urban-rural distinction also does not help to explain the fiscal condition of the 50 counties that have between 45 and 65% of their population in municipalities. The fiscal condition of these counties ranges from poor to excellent, depending on their service responsibilities, public service costs, and revenue-raising capacity. As explained earlier, SRP County, with about 59% of its population in municipalities, has the best fiscal condition in the state. In contrast, Cherry County, with about 52% of its population in municipalities, ranks among the 10 counties with the poorest fiscal condition. Cherry County is sparsely settled, so it has relatively high public service costs, and it has above-average county roads and a county hospital, so it has relatively high service responsibilities. These relatively high costs and responsibilities overwhelm Cherry County's average revenue-raising capacity and leave it with one of the highest need capacity gaps in the state. Another pattern that emerges from this analysis is geographic. The vast majority of the counties in the best fiscal condition are east of the city of Grand Island, or are along Interstate 80. This geographic pattern is illustrated in Figure 9.1. Among the 50 counties with the best fiscal condition, only 5 do not fall into one of these two categories. 3 of these 5, Red Willow, ranked 13th, Scotts Bluff, ranked 16th, and Box Butte, ranked 29th, contain cities that are relatively large by Nebraska standards, and only 2, Thomas, ranked 45th, and Hitchcock, ranked 49th, are rural counties in the western part of the state. Compared to the western counties, the eastern counties tend to be more densely settled and, because of their ties with the major commercial centers of Omaha and Lincoln, to have higher per capita income. As explained above, these characteristics strengthen a county's fiscal condition even if the county is predominantly rural. Moreover, many of the largest cities in the state outside of the east, including North Platte in Lincoln County, ranked 4th, Grand Island in Hall County, ranked 15th, and Kearney, in Buffalo County, ranked 19th, are clustered along Interstate 80. As explained earlier, these large cities tend to boost the fiscal condition of their county. Not only are most of the top-ranked counties in the east, but 35 of the 41 counties east of Grand Island are among the 50 counties in the best fiscal condition. The only eastern counties that are not in the top 50 are poor rural counties on or near the state border, Knox, Antelope, Dixon, and Thurston, in the north, Fillmore, Johnson, and Bonnie, in the south. Finally, we discover that townships have little net impact on a county's fiscal condition. As noted earlier, townships have a large negative impact on a county's revenue-raising capacity, particularly through the property tax. 18 of the 20 counties with the lowest overall revenue-raising capacity have townships. At the same time, however, townships relieve counties of much of the responsibility for highways. That is, counties in which townships exist tend to be responsible for far fewer miles of highways than do other counties. 23 of the 28 counties with townships have above-average service responsibilities. These two effects roughly offset each other. Only one of the counties with the smallest need capacity gave, Washington, and none of the 10 counties with the largest need capacity gaps have townships, and the average need capacity gap for counties with townships is somewhat better than average, namely negative $50 per capita. Townships' lack of impact on county fiscal condition is not surprising. Townships basically draw on the same incomes as counties to provide services, principally highway maintenance, that counties could provide at the same cost. In other words, townships simply take over some portion of a county's service responsibilities and the capacity needed to support it. The determinants of county spending. Our measure of county's fiscal condition is designed to be unaffected by that county government's actual behavior, that is, by its actual decisions about spending and taxation. Nevertheless, state policymakers may want to understand the fiscal behavior of county governments. Do counties with higher per capita income or larger tax bases spend more than other counties? Do counties with greater service responsibilities provide the same quality services as other counties? What is the impact of state and federal grants on county spending? The section addresses these and other questions about county fiscal behavior. The statistical support for our conclusions is presented in the appendix. Following standard practice, our analysis of county operating spending per capita is built on the notion of voter demand for public services. Voters' demand for public services, like their demand for private goods and services, increases with their income and decreases with the price of those services. In the case of public services, the price is the amount a voter must pay in taxes for another unit of services. This so-called tax price is inversely related to the property tax base. In the county, the greater the tax base, the lower the taxes each voter must pay to raise a given amount of revenue. We find that both income and tax price have a statistically significant impact on county spending. As noted earlier, a standard deviation is a measure of the typical variation in a variable across counties. A county with per capita income one standard deviation above the average spends about $20 more per capita than a county with average income. In addition, a county with a tax price one standard deviation above the average spends about $32 less per capita than a county with an average tax price. Counties with greater service responsibilities also spend more than other counties. However, a $1 increase in county service responsibilities leads to only a 25-cent increase in county spending. Remember that our measure of service responsibilities is the amount a county would have to spend to obtain services of average quality. This result implies, therefore, that counties with relatively high responsibilities encounter a kind of fiscal overburden. In order to keep up with their high responsibilities, they cut back on the quality of services. A county with many miles of roads per capita, for example, will not spend as much per mile to maintain those roads as a county with few miles of roads per capita. Not surprisingly, counties with hospitals spend more than other counties. We find that counties with hospitals spend about $44 more per capita than other counties, plus about 82 cents for every dollar of hospital revenue. As noted earlier, the $44 represents spending that is related to providing hospitals, including some general administration and perhaps some health spending. In addition to hospital spending that is not covered by charges, counties with harsher environments for providing public services have higher public service costs and must spend more than other counties to receive the same service quality. Thus, the impact of environmental factors on public service costs can be estimated by determining the link between these factors and county spending. Controlling for the determinants of service quality. As explained earlier, we MD that five environmental factors influence county spending in Nebraska, namely population density, the number of fans per capita, the share of the population classified as farm, the poverty rate, and the crime rate. Aid from the state and from other local governments tends to stimulate county spending. For every $1 of state aid, measured according to the census accounting system, county spending increases by about 18 cents. This relatively small effect implies that most of each state aid dollar, namely 82 cents, goes toward reduced county taxes. This response to aid varies from county to county, however, and could be different for new state aid programs. For example, a state matching grant would undoubtedly stimulate county spending more than current state aid programs. County spending also increases with payments received from other local governments. This result is to be expected because these payments primarily represent reimbursement to the counties for road maintenance contracts with other governments. In the case of townships, contracts of this kind appear to be common and county spending increases with the number of miles of township roads in the county. Somewhat surprisingly, however, we find no statistically significant connection between federal categorical grants or federal general revenue sharing and county spending. Policy options for the state. Current state aid programs. As explained earlier, the state aid figures in Table 9.1 follow census accounting procedures which count federal aid passed through to the counties as state aid. This section breaks away from this accounting system to examine the two main programs in the Nebraska state budget for providing aid to counties. These two programs are the grants provided through the Governmental Subdivision Fund and the reimbursement for the homestead exemption from the property tax. In fiscal year 1986, Nebraska distributed $15.6 million to its counties through the Governmental Subdivision Fund. This aid originated as a replacement for county property tax revenue that was lost as a result of state-mandated exemptions for various types of personal property, including business inventories and farm equipment. The connection between these exemptions and state aid has been severed, however, and would be very difficult to restore, largely because personal property is so hard to assess. The aid formula that has evolved is based on a county's property tax levy. Each county's share of the total aid budget equals its share of total county property taxes in the state. Property taxes are the principal source of revenue for counties, so the property tax levy varies across counties. For the same reasons that spending varies, such as population, income, service responsibilities, public service costs, preferences concerning service quality, and managerial efficiency. The current state aid formula awards counties for higher property taxes regardless of the reason for these higher taxes. Thus, some counties are rewarded for higher taxes that arise because of managerial inefficiency or a preference for high-quality services, whereas other counties are rewarded for higher taxes that arise because of high service responsibilities or high public service costs. In our judgment, this form of aid program is neither cost-effective nor fair. It is not cost-effective because it rewards inefficiency, counties that collect more taxes but provide the same quality of services as other counties nevertheless receive more state aid. It is unfair because it does not distinguish between counties that collect more property tax through their own choice and counties that collect more property taxes because of factors outside their control, such as service responsibilities or public service costs. Another way to evaluate this state aid program is to determine the extent to which it gives more aid to counties in poorer fiscal condition, as measured by their need capacity gaps. We find that grants from the Governmental Subdivision Fund are directed, to a small degree, toward counties in poorer fiscal condition. To be precise, if County A has a need capacity gap, per capita, that is $1 higher than the gap in County B, then County A can expect to receive 15 cents more, per capita, in state grants than County B. Another way to express this result is that state grants offset about 1.5% of the differences in need capacity gaps across counties. The reason this small amount of equalization exists is that counties with higher responsibilities and higher costs must spend more than other counties, and therefore must levy higher property taxes. However, the extent of equalization remains modest, because, as explained earlier, higher property taxes also reflect many factors other than these components of fiscal condition. In the next section, we show how Nebraska could design a grant program that would be much more highly targeted toward counties in poor fiscal condition. The other major state aid program for counties in Nebraska is the homestead exemption distribution. In fiscal year 1986, counties received $28.1 million from the state under this program. Counties grant exemptions from the property tax to low-income elderly or disabled homeowners and are reimbursed by the state for these exemptions. Nebraska's property tax exemptions are designed to lessen the burden of the property tax on low-income elderly and disabled people. The state reimbursement is designed to shift the cost of this program from the counties to the state. In our judgment, these objectives are reasonable and similar programs have been implemented in many other states. Homestead exemptions and the accompanying state distributions are an appropriate way for the state to help certain disadvantaged individuals, but these distributions should not be regarded as a substitute for state assistance to disadvantaged counties. In fact, counties in poorer fiscal condition tend to receive slightly smaller homestead distributions than other counties. This finding reflects the fact that in Nebraska, as in other states, elderly and disabled people tend to concentrate in cities. As documented earlier, counties that contain relatively large cities are likely to be in good fiscal condition. Equalizing grants. A key objective of grant programs in many states is to help jurisdictions that are, through no fault of their own, in poor fiscal condition. It would be a mistake to reward jurisdictions that were in fiscal trouble because of mismanagement or profligate spending. But many public officials believe that the state government should help jurisdictions that are in fiscal trouble because of their economic and social characteristics. The objective of this type of assistance is to ensure that all citizens have access to an adequate level of public services, even if they live in a jurisdiction with a low revenue-raising capacity or a high expenditure need. In this section, we present a type of grant program for Nebraska that is explicitly designed to help offset fiscal disparities across counties, that is, to help counties in relatively poor fiscal condition because of factors outside their control. Although we believe that offsetting fiscal disparities across counties is a legitimate and even compelling objective for the state, any decision about the extent to which fiscal disparities are offset must be made by Nebraska state officials. Our approach is to provide a general grant formula for offsetting fiscal disparities across counties, and to show how state officials can increase or decrease the generosity of the program. Our earlier analysis shows that state assistance to counties through the governmental subdivision fund already is directed toward counties in poor fiscal condition, but only to small degree. The general formula described below would allow the state to increase the degree to which its aid is targeted toward these counties. In order to implement a grant program to offset fiscal disparities across counties, state officials must make two decisions. First, they must decide on the budget for the program. Second, they must decide whether the program will be directed toward all counties, or will be limited to those counties in the poorest fiscal condition. These two decisions determine the percentage of existing fiscal disparities that can be offset by state aid. The greater is the program's budget, the greater is the percentage of existing disparities that the program can offset. And the more counties are included in the program, the lower is the program's ability to offset the fiscal disparities among recipient counties. These points are illustrated in Table 9.5. Based on the 1984 populations and fiscal year 1986 need capacity gaps in Nebraska's counties, we calculate the percentage of existing disparities that can be offset, called the offset percentage, for various state budget levels and various sets of counties. The first column of entries in the table lists the offset percentage for various state budgets when the aid program applies to all counties in the state. This column reveals that Nebraska can offset 0.31% of existing fiscal disparities for every $1 million it spends. With a fiscal year 1986 budget for the governmental subdivision fund, $15.6 million, the state could offset about 5% of the fiscal disparities among all counties, which is over three times the percentage in the current aid formula. A program that gives grants to all counties is not a cost-effective way to help the counties in poorest fiscal condition because it devotes a large share of its budget to small per capita grants to large counties, which tend to be in relatively good fiscal condition. One way to focus the aid on the neediest counties, therefore, is to set up a grant program limited to counties with a need capacity gap above the selected cutoff point. The remaining three columns of Table 9.5 describe grant programs with three different cutoff points: a need capacity gap above -$50 per capita, a need capacity gap above zero, and a need capacity gap above $50 per capita. Consider the third column, which describes a grant to all counties with above-average gaps, that is, with gaps above zero. For every $1 million of budget, this program can offset 9% of the existing fiscal disparities among these counties. Thus, an $11 million budget would eliminate these differences entirely. These points are illustrated graphically in Figure 9.2. The four lines in this figure correspond to the four $1 million aid programs in the first row of Table 9.5. As the cutoff point for receiving aid moves to the right, the offset percentage, which is represented by the steepness of the line, goes up. Hence, the counties in the poorest fiscal condition receive much more aid per capita when the cutoff point is a gap of $50 per capita, which defines the aid program in column 4, than when all counties receive aid, as in column 1. Although the grant programs in columns 2 through 4 do not give aid to counties in relatively good fiscal condition, they could easily be combined with a flat per capita grant to all counties. For example, the $15.6 million from the governmental subdivision fund could be divided in half, $7.8 million given to counties with need capacity gaps above zero would offset about 71% of the fiscal disparities among these counties, and the remaining $7.8 million would finance a grant of about $5 per capita for all counties in the state. This two-part program would provide much more assistance to the neediest counties than a $15.6 million equalizing grant program given to all counties. As noted earlier, this program would offset only about 5% of existing fiscal disparities. One can also read Table 9.5 in another way, if one wants to offset a certain portion of fiscal disparities across counties, say 50%, then the table indicates the combinations of program budget and included counties that make it possible to achieve this objective. The table indicates, for example, that the 50% target could be obtained with the $11 million grant program given to counties with need capacity gaps above -$50, or with a $5.5 million grant program given only the counties with above average gaps. Given the wide range in need capacity gaps across counties, and in particular the extremely high gaps in a few counties, we recommend that the state consider using some of its county assistance budget for a grant program that is explicitly designed to offset fiscal disparities. Moreover, we recommend that to some degree this program be limited to the counties with the poorest fiscal condition so that it can provide assistance where it is most needed at a reasonable cost. To implement this recommendation, the state must be able to estimate and update each county's need capacity gap. A method for doing so is presented in the appendix to this paper. County tax limits and the role of townships. The Nebraska Constitution places a limit of 50 cents per $100 of assessed value, or 0.5%, on county property tax rates. This limit is binding in a few counties and close to binding in several others. As of September 1987, four counties were at this limit. 14 counties had tax rates of 0.49% or above, and 27 counties had tax rates of 0.45 or above. Because counties do not have any other broad-based taxes on which they can draw, future increases in the cost of public services could push many more counties up to this limit. The form of the tax limit has two serious flaws. First, it does not recognize the role of townships. This neglect is both unfair and distortionary. Townships themselves face a statutory property tax limit of 0.28%, but this limit is independent of the limit placed on the county tax rate. Because the county limit does not apply to township property taxes, counties in which townships maintain a large share of the highways are less likely to be constrained by the county limit than are counties without townships. In fact, the sum of county and average township property tax rates exceeds 0.5% in 10 counties. These counties are, in effect, avoiding the tax limit by shifting some of the responsibility for highways onto townships. Thus, the county limit is much stricter for counties without townships than for counties with townships. This difference in treatment is unfair. Furthermore, the current form of the county tax limit encourages counties to shift service responsibilities toward townships. Townships do not appear to have any fiscal advantages over counties. Indeed, some townships do not actually maintain highways themselves, but merely contract with the county for this service. This arrangement simply adds an unnecessary administrative layer to highway service provision. Nevertheless, voters in some counties may, for non-fiscal reasons, prefer to have some services delivered by townships. Even so, we can think of no justification for a policy that encourages the use of townships. Such a policy distorts voters' decisions, that is, it leads voters to make use of townships because of an artificial constraint, not because voters inherently prefer to receive certain services from townships instead of from counties. The potential for distortion is illustrated by the recent decision by voters in Hall County to retain townships even though the townships currently provide few services. Although Hall County's property tax rate is well below the constitutional limit, voters preserve their option to shift service responsibilities to townships in the future and thereby avoid the tax limit. The second flaw in the current tax limit is that it does not recognize the fact that some counties must spend relatively large amounts and hence levy relatively high property taxes for reasons outside their control, such as high service responsibilities or high service costs. Thus, counties with relatively high responsibilities and costs are more likely to reach the tax limit than other counties, and are therefore more likely to be required to cut back on the quality of their public services. In fact, two of the counties currently at the limit are among the five counties with the poorest fiscal condition, and 10 of the 14 counties with tax rates above 0.49 are among the 25 least healthy counties. Unless it is offset by other state policies, the tax limit forces the counties in the poorest fiscal condition to accept lower quality public services than other counties. We recommend that Nebraska move to correct these flaws in the current county tax limit. First, a constitutional amendment should be passed either to eliminate the county tax limit or to modify it to account for the role of townships. The most straightforward modification would be to add the township tax limit to the county tax limit in counties without townships. This modification would set a limit of 0.78% on the sum of the county and township tax rates. By setting the same overall limit in counties with and without townships, this approach would eliminate both the current unfair treatment of counties without townships and the inappropriate incentive for counties to shift service responsibilities toward townships. A more comprehensive analysis of tax limit in Nebraska will be provided in a separate paper. If the county tax limit is retained, Nebraska also should provide some assistance for the counties with the poorest fiscal condition to ensure that the county tax limit does not force them to accept public service quality that is far below the service quality in the average county. In our judgment, the most appropriate way to provide this assistance would be through an equalizing grant program, such as the one described in the previous section. Such a program would provide assistance to counties that are hard hit by economic and social factors outside their control, and would thereby enable those counties to keep their tax rates below the limit and to maintain their service quality. A less desirable alternative would be to give counties access to another broad-based tax, such as a sales tax. Because only a tiny portion of the sales tax burden could be exported to non-residents, this alternative would not add to counties' revenue-raising capacity, that is, to the revenue they could raise at a given tax burden on their residents, but it would enable counties to avoid the cuts in service quality that a binding tax limit requires. Conclusions. In fiscal year 1986, counties in Nebraska spent an average of about $300 per capita per for their basic operations. Most of Tiltai's money was spent on highways, health, and hospitals, and general governmental administration. County's principal source of revenue is the property tax, with significant contributions from state and federal aid, and particularly for hospitals, charges. A county's revenue-raising capacity, which is the money it can raise at a given tax burden on its residents, depends on resident income, the share of capacity used up by townships and municipalities, and on the county's ability to export its property tax burden to non-residents. In Nebraska, some urban counties have a relatively high revenue-raising capacity, despite the resources consumed by their cities, because they have relatively high income and ability to export the property tax burden. Some rural counties also have relatively high revenue-raising capacity, because they do not have to share their resources with townships or municipalities. The counties with the lowest revenue-raising capacity tend to be low-income counties, with a significant share of their population in municipalities. A county's expenditure need, which is the amount it must spend to provide public services of average quality, depends on its public service responsibilities and on its public service costs. In Nebraska, rural counties tend to have relatively high expenditure need because they are responsible for relatively many miles of roads per capita, and because their low population density and high number of farms per capita drive up the cost of providing public services. Urban counties, on the other hand, tend to have relatively low expenditure need because state, federal, and municipal governments maintain most of the highways, and because high population density and a lack of farms hold down the cost of public services. Public service costs, but not service responsibilities, are about average in the largest urban counties. High poverty and crime rates largely offset the cost-lowering effects of high density and a lack of farms. A county's need capacity gap, which is our summary measure of its fiscal condition, is the difference between its expenditure need and its revenue-raising capacity. Because of their relatively low expenditure need and relatively high revenue-raising capacity, the urban and suburban counties in the eastern third of the state and the counties along Interstate 80 with large cities, by Nebraska standards, tend to have relatively low need capacity gaps, that is, to be in the best fiscal condition. Although some of the rural counties in the central and western parts of the state have relatively high revenue-raising capacity, these counties have such high expenditure needs that most of them have relatively high need capacity gaps. The state's principal aid program for counties is the distribution of money from the governmental subdivision fund. This program gives more aid to counties with higher property tax levies, regardless of whether the reason for high taxes is a preference for high-quality services, managerial inefficiency, extensive service responsibilities, or high service costs. Moreover, this program does little to help counties in poor fiscal condition. We provide an alternative grant formula that does not reward counties for fancy public services or inefficient management, and that can be directed toward the neediest counties. The Nebraska state constitution limits the county property tax rate to 0.5%, whether or not the county contains townships. As a result, counties with townships can avoid the limit by shifting service responsibilities onto townships. The current limit, therefore, is much harsher for counties without townships, and it provides an inappropriate incentive for counties with townships to shed service responsibilities. We recommend that the limit be changed and raised so that it applies to the sum of the county tax rate and the township tax rate, if any. The current tax limit also is much harsher for counties in poor fiscal condition. State grants directed toward these counties would go a long way toward eliminating this problem. For those interested in the technical details of the calculations used in this paper, please see Appendix 9A.